Got your Bibles? Move with me to Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation chapter number 19. If you're listening by way of live stream, you should share this right now. I like to see a lot of people see this and hear this because there's not much preaching that I've heard on this subject. Not a lot. But I'm going to get with it tonight. Now, we've been talking in these weeks about the rapture, the judgment seat, and tonight we're going to end this particular series, take 2 weeks break from it. I'll be in California next week at a leadership conference. Following week, I'll be speaking to the teens, and we have a missionary preaching. And then on first week of October, I'm starting to take you through the book of Revelation. And a lot of that, what I've said so far, is going to make a lot of sense when I take you right through the book of Revelation. But tonight, I'm going to be talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb and the glorious celebration. If you got Revelation 19, say amen. And I want to get in context, and I'll build to the point that I want to bring tonight. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Before I go further, and I'm not going to elaborate a lot, I could really just dive into each one of these little thoughts. What do you mean after these things? What just happened in chapter 17 and chapter 18, the destruction of religious and political Babylon. The destruction of the harlot church. Now, in these 10 verses, we're going to be dealing with the future and the marriage supper of the true church. But I want y'all to know something. Where God has a true church, the devil always has a counterfeit. And I want to tell you who the counterfeit church is. That harlot church, that's no more. They started in 300 AD. There was a reformation from them. Now a lot of those people that left them is coming back to mama. And she's the harlot. It's the universal church. I personally believe the pastor of that church, the false prophet, will be the Pope. I believe that. Amen. So I've never heard that before. Well, that's why you haven't been where you're getting good teaching if you hadn't heard that before. A one world church, one world religion. But hear me out, God's going to destroy them. And God's not only going to destroy the religious Babylon that you can trace all the way back to Genesis 11, but he's going to destroy political Babylon. And amen. That's that confederacy that we find of the old Roman Empire that will have a confederacy, and we call that political Babylon. So that's the context. After these things, I heard a voice of much people in heaven saying, "Hallelujah." I'd like for the church to say it with me. Let's say it together. Hallelujah. Say it real good.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want you to know something. If you go to Germany, guess how it sounds, Jeff? Hallelujah. Go to Japan, you know what it says? Hallelujah. Go to Cambodia, you know what it says? Hallelujah. That is a universal word of worship. Amen. Hallelujah, salvation, and glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore. We just talked about her. Which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. And hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. I want you to know she had a lot to do with martyrdom in the past, and she'll have a lot to do with martyrdom of those tribulation saints in the future. She's a murderous, terrible, wicked harlot. That's what the scripture says. And again, they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders, that's the church, and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out from the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were of a voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters and a voice of mighty thundering saying, hallelujah. Listen to this. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I know this society we are living in right now is out of control. It is. I mean, our government is a mess. Inflation numbers just came out. We've got people having a hard time to eat. You know why? We got a misguided leadership in our country. And by the way, I'm not just talking about one political party. Both of them's a mess. I'm just telling the truth about it. I mean, amen. I don't want to get there because I'll preach too long. Look at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Listen to this phrase. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. It's important that you see that phraseology. And his wife hath made herself ready. And her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said, saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these things are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, Harold Sleitler, how many's ever heard of Harold Sleitler? Preached a famous sermon years ago called The Four Hallelujahs. And it's awesome. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you down through these verses and give you an outline. And I think you're supposed to have that online there. And it starts out with worship God for salvation. Now, in verse number one, that first hallelujah is we need to, and I'm going to spend just very brief time on this, but we need to worship God for his salvation. Said after these things is a key time marker. And of course, I told you the religious and economic Babylon was destroyed. And the satanic system that opposes God will be destroyed. I want you to know this world lieth in wickedness, but God's going to judge this world and the satanic system. Amen. Verse 1 and 2, we see the joy in God's salvation. And he did it in a loud voice. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't like loud preaching, loud shouting. Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to have a hard time in heaven. Because it's going to be loud. And you say, why are you so loud? I'm just trying to prepare you for heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. This word occurs in this passage four times. It's derived from the Hebrew word halo, which means praise. And Yah or Yahi or praise Yahi, praise the Lord. Why should we praise him in verse 1? For our salvation, or for his salvation, for his glory, and for his power. In verse 2, we ought to praise him for his true and righteous judgments, for his judgment of the great harlot, for his avenging of the blood of the saints. I want to tell you, there's been a lot of people died for the faith. And there's going to be a lot of people die yet for the faith. And God is going to avenge those deaths. Our God's a saving God. How many agree? A glorious God. A powerful God. The true God. The righteous God. The judging and avenging God. There's joy in God's salvation. How many's glad you're saved? Wave at me. Act like you are anyhow. Amen. Then we see the justice in God's salvation. Verse 2 and 4. Babylon and the harlot, a spiritual and idolatrous fornicator, is judged. Babylon is a murderer of saints of God. And how many's ever read the Fox Book of Martyrs? Anybody? It's a good read. Also, there's another book on martyrs that'd be a good read for you, and it's Bunyan's Book of Martyrs. I've got both of the books. I've read them thoroughly. And when you see what people had suffered for our Baptist faith, for our faith, while we have faith today, those people that were killed for it. And by the way, during the tribulation period, there are going to be tribulation saints that will be saved, and they're going to be murdered also. Now let's go on. Number two, we need to worship God for his sovereignty in verse 5 and 6. And I'm going to go through these quickly because I want to get to the main thought tonight, the marriage supper. We need to honor God with our praise. Somebody say amen. A voice came out of heaven or out of the throne saying, praise our God. I want to tell you something. Colton, you preached on commitment. If we're really committed, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to give men praise. We're going to give God praise. Amen. Man didn't save me. I'm not committing myself to man. I'm not really committed to a religious organization, though I'm a Baptist and I'm loyal to this church. But I want to tell you where my loyalty is in Christ. Amen. Amen. That's good. Amen. Not some, but all should praise him. His servants. Thank God for that. Then we need to honor God's power in verse number 6. And I heard as it were the voice of great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I like that word, omnipotent. It's used 9 times in the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:8, Revelation 4:8, Revelation 11:17, 15:3, 16:7, and 14, 19:6, 15, and 21:22, and it also found one other place in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. That's that word omnipotent. That means all powerful. I want you to know Satan only has limited power. And I'm kind of tired of Christians giving him too much power. He's limited. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But here's where I want to land at tonight. And I'll share this, then I'm going to share the PowerPoint about the marriage supper tally. You just stay with me. But we need to worship God for his spouse. Thank God. Look at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to the Lamb. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself what? Ready. Let me, if I can, to understand the marriage and the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's vitally important to understand Jewish custom and Jewish marriages. If you don't understand Jewish custom and Jewish marriages, then you can't interpret this passage of Scripture. Are you with me? So I'm going to interpret it to you. The first stage of a Jewish marriage is what is called betrothal. It's the same stage that, you remember, Joseph and Mary was in. And by the way, the Jewish betrothal is stronger than our marriage proposals and marriages. Because I want to tell you something. The only thing that could break a betrothal, an engagement, was divorce. I'm talking about an engagement. I'm not talking about marriage. Are y'all with me? You said, what are you talking about, the betrothal place for this marriage? And here's what I mean by that. It's two things. Number one, and I'll show you more in our slides, from God's perspective, it started in eternity past when he chose the church as a whole, corporate, in him. Amen. That's where it started. Amen. But from our vantage point, it started the moment the Holy Spirit convicted us and we got saved by the grace of God. And at that very moment you got saved, you became betrothed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So right now, we are in the betrothal state. Y'all with me? Right now. The first part of the, The first part of that ceremony is the betrothal state. That's the moment you got saved. Number two, boy, this is, I'm about ready to shout right here. But here's what would happen in a Jewish marriage, a second stage. The father of the groom then would send for the bride and take her from her house to his house to have the wedding. Oh, y'all didn't get that. I don't think y'all got that. I believe that went right over top of your little head. He's coming from his house to our house to take us from our house to his house to have a wedding. That ought to make you shout. And that's found in 1 Thessalonians 4. When the trump sounds, that's the processional for the bride. Can you imagine the bride of Christ, us, and the trump's going to sound? It's going to really be a festive occasion. And the voice from the archangel sound and says, come up hither. And here's what happens. The church of the living God enters in before God at the procession. And there is married. And I'll tell you how we go. How did we get the white garment? Let me explain. We go through the judgment seat of Christ. And he presents us then a chaste virgin. We got flaws right now, church. Don't we? I sure do. Don't you? We all got flaws. But then when he raptures and we get purged at the judgment seat of Christ, ain't no flaws then. Amen. Then we have the white raiment given to us. And there and then we are married to the Lamb. You say, when? Colton? The rapture of the church is when the church gets married. I remember when I got married. I still rejoice in it. My wife's dad wouldn't give her away, so somebody else had to do that. But he loved me, he just wasn't gonna do it. But one of these days, it's going to be a marriage. Could you imagine for a minute, us as the bride, get caught up into heaven, and we are there with the bridegroom, and we stand before God the Father, and we are married to him. Woo! That ought to make you shout. A lot of people say, well, I don't have anything to look forward to. I tell you, I do. We're going to get married to the Lamb one day. We're in the betrothal state. But because we have the earnest of the expectation, the Holy Spirit, that assures us to be married one day when we stand before Him. Am I still with me? Now, what comes next? There's three phases to a wedding. Are you listening? This marriage supper or marriage, there's three phases. First of all, when you got saved, that's to betrothal. And then we have the procession, that is at the rapture. And then we have what is called the wedding feast or the celebration. Now, there's different opinion on this, Chad. I'll give them to you. And I'm not going to fault any of them, okay? There's one that I fault, but I think I don't see it at all. Some people believe that the wedding feast or celebration is in the during the 7 years of the tribulation period. That's when that, because it actually says here over in Revelation 19, if you remember, it said the marriage has come. So it already happened. Now, and then the third view, the next view is the millennial kingdom. And then the last view is the eternal state. Now, I do not believe in the eternal state being it. Now, I want to give you my view, which I think I go back and forth. Okay? But here's my view. The feast began at the rapture, and it will extend through the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. Note the marriage of the Lamb has come. So what I think is we get there, get judged, get presented to Christ, get married to Him. We start our supper right then. And our supper lasts for 1,007 years. Now, perfectly clear on the Bible, so I can be clear with you. The reason some people believe it's the 7 years of tribulation, and I'm going to give you why, Chad, and this is a pretty good argument, and I'm sure I'm not going to get down and fight about this, because in the Jewish custom, the feast or celebration lasted 7 days after the marriage. So potentially, it could be talking about the 7 years of tribulation. But we are going to be with Christ and celebrating, I believe, for 7 years plus 1,000 years. But who knows? I'm just giving you custom in Scripture. Now, notice some things about verse number 7. And we're going somewhere. Her preparation is to the bride. We rejoice. The Lamb is Christ. That's mentioned 29 times in the book of Revelation, 28 times of Jesus. Through sanctification, we have made ourselves ready. Her purity is a blessing. She was granted a white robe. And her privilege is to be at His banquet. Now, what I want to do before I get to point four, I want you to look at the chart. Go with me. I'm looking up there. Yes. Look on the board, the points of the theological significance. Now, let me rehearse what I just went through with you. And I want you to see it on the board. First of all, the bride of Revelation 19, 1 through 10 stands in stark contrast to the whore in Revelation 17, 19. We're not a harlot. We're the pure bride washed in the pure blood. The marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation 19, 7 through 10, stands in stark contrast to the great supper of God found in 17, 21, when the battle of Armageddon comes, the birds come and feast upon the flesh. Amen. Now look at me. If you're saved, you're going to a marriage supper. But if you're left still alive at that time without Christ, you are going to be the supper.
Right. Amen. That's true. Amen.
Somebody help me. How many would rather go to the marriage supper than be the supper? Some say there's a multitude of birds multiplying over in the Middle East right now. I don't know all about that, but I do know when the time comes, there's going to be a bunch of birds because there's going to be a bunch of flesh they'll be eating. Right. We preaching. Amen. Now, Chad, the chronological order of Revelation 19:1 through 20:15 supports pre-trib view of the rapture. Now listen to this. Look at the bottom. I don't know if you can see the bottom. It's kind of hard. So let me show you what it says. The marriage supper of the believers in heaven. I think from the rapture on to this very moment in Revelation 19. And then right after that, we have the second coming when we come back on white horses. How many's looking forward to that? How many's ever rode a horse? How many's never rode a horse? How many's scared to ride a horse? Look at me. Well, you scared or not, you mounting up one day. Amen. And can I tell you a little illustration? It's a little funny one, but it really gives a good point. Years ago, I went with my sister to Carter Caves, Kentucky. You know where that's at. Some, most of you been there. And we went there, and my sister had this bright idea. She said, let's go horseback riding. And now, at that time, I weighed 415 pounds. I'm a real skinny guy compared to that. 415. So when the guy come out there and picking up horses, he looked at me. Then he said, Tom, please. And I said, who in the world's Tom? Tom was the horse that took me a ladder to get up on. Now, when I got up on that horse was acting nice. And by the way, Chad, I went and I said, Tom, are we good? You know, he was acting nice. But I tell you what happened. As soon as that lead horse took off, guess what Tom did? He took off. And that, it wasn't too bad. And of course, I was praying and asking God that I wouldn't fall off. And I said, Tom, please. And then all of a sudden, the horse in the front gallops. And I went from holding on to the whatever you call that, reins, to my arms wrapped around his throat, begging him to stop. And as soon as that lead horse stopped, he stopped. Well, one of these days, there's going to be a leader of the procession. His name's the Lord Jesus. He's going to mount up on a white horse, have a sword, which is the word of God, and a vesture dipped in blood. And he's heading out of heaven as a lead horse. And guess what happens? We follow him on white horses. I had somebody ask me one time, and it was kind of silly, but silly deserves silly. And this lady come to me about having tears. I'd preached on this very thing. She said, can I ask you a question? What is that white horse? And I looked at her, and I was young back then, so you got to remember, I was a little feisty. I said, a white horse. It's not going to be no automobile. We're coming out of heaven in white horses. Amen. Follow him. Somebody ought to want to take a lap right now. Now, notice something. I'll give you just a few more things, and I'm done. The image of the marriage symbolizes the relationship of God and his people. It appears several times in the Bible. Isaiah 54, 5 through 7, Hosea 2, 9, 2 Corinthians 11, 2. But also we know Ephesians 5, 25 through 27 distinctly says that the bride is the church. Yes. Amen. Amen. And we got the betrothal stage, the procession stage, the wedding feast stage. And whether it's the first 7 years or 1,007 years, I want to tell you what they won't do. They won't say grace until you get there. Can you imagine this scene, Chad? We've been dining with Christ. And then we mount up on horses. I want to give you this picture, Jeff. This is so wonderful. And here's where we go, brother. How many's going to Israel with me? Raise your hand. Listen to this. You want to hear this. I'm going to show you this maybe on the first day. I'm not sure. Just depends how it all works out. But we're going to go up the coast, the Mediterranean Sea. We'll probably show you Caesarea by the sea and where Paul was in prison. Then we're going to go up into the mountains to a place called Megiddo, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, where the last battle is going to be fought. And here's what's going to happen. The Lord with you is going to descend from heaven, come and swoop down to the Valley of Megiddo and fight what is called the Battle of Armageddon. Right. And destroy every one of the Antichrist's friends and every person that was there to fight against the Lamb. Amen. And their dead bodies going to be there all the way down to where he lands. Do you know where he's going to land? The Mount of Olives. And I'm going to take you to the Mount of Olives, Lance. And I'm going to show you where he's coming to. And then once he comes there, he is going to proceed right past the Garden of Gethsemane and right across a little piece. There's what they call the Eastern Gates. And he is going to come with his bride and come through the Eastern Gate, set upon the throne of David, and David will be co-regent, and we will rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Does that excite you a little bit? That's not laid up for the world. That doesn't come from a handout from Biden. No, that comes from the hand of the Lord Jesus. Are y'all with me? Can you imagine it? Please, let me slow down for a minute. I'm not tired tonight. Let me slow down a minute. Would y'all just sit here and think? Think about it. You're married to the Lamb. You've had supper with him. And then you move up and then get up on a white horse. And you get the privilege to be with him when he fights the last battle. Bless his name.
Amen. Amen.
And you get the privilege to come into Jerusalem and you get the privilege to rule with him 1,000 years. And we're going to celebrate. You know, sometimes in church, we need to celebrate more.
Amen.
We need to worship better.
Amen.
You said, why? You know the old verse, prepare to meet God? He was talking about Christians. You know what? We need to prepare to meet this time because there's going to be a bunch of shouting.
Amen.
And some of you said, well, I don't shout. Well, you will then.
Amen.
I can't wait to see some of you get there. There's some of you that's quiet. But I see a ball game, you shout like a banshee. Yes. But one of these days, you're going to shout too. You're going to say this, hallelujah, to the Lamb. Well, that's the marriage supper. I'll take 2 weeks, prepare myself, and then we're going to start Revelation 1. And take you through. But here's my question. If the Lord come tonight at the rapture, how many's ready for the procession? You're saved. Raise your hand if you know you're saved. Amen. Amen. You're going to be in on that. Bow your head, remain stand. If you're here not saved, you come. If you're here and you're saved, you just want to come up and rejoice a little bit and praise him, you go ahead. Father, right now I pray as Chad comes and finishes up that you'll touch folks, help them, and Lord, help us rejoice on what is to come. In Jesus' name.